Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app, available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
You know, I'm getting to that age where remembering things becomes more of a challenge than it used to be. And, you know, what's funny is my wife and I sometimes will try to remember. I don't know if any of you do this that's married, but we'll try to remember some of the things we did, like what we did on our 7th anniversary or our 9th anniversary. You know, those oddball anniversaries, we try to do those. And sometimes we're sitting there and we're like, wait, did we go here? Is this when we had the argument, or is this where? And we're trying to measure it by what we did, and we have the hardest time. But I tell you what, what's funny about my wife, though, we may have trouble remembering that, but if you mention a commercial from 1985, she will sing the jingle. She can remember a marketing slogan, like nobody's business. She always said if they had made more things songs in school, it would have made school so much easier for her because she loves music. So I thought it'd be interesting to see if you guys can remember. I'm going to admit, I took some old ones, okay? So some of these are going to predate a lot of people in here, but some of you might remember them. So we'll see. See if you can finish this. If I said that KFC is, anybody remember the last part? That's right, finger looking good. All right, how about this one? Maybe she's born with it, maybe it's. There you go. All right, hero. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. You guys are good. Okay, that's Alka-Seltzer, yes. All right, have one more really old one. I don't even think they make this product anymore, so I'll see if you guys can remember the last part of this line. It said, Calgon. Oh, you guys remember it. Nice. Do you remember the commercial for Calgon? It was always, if you never saw it, you can actually find them on YouTube, but it was always this mom who was completely haggard, completely worn out. She's screaming about the kids, about her boss, about traffic, about the dog. I don't know how the husband didn't make it in there, but somehow he didn't make it in there. But basically, she would scream about all these problems, and then she would yell, Calgon, take me away, and immediately she is transported into this luxurious bubble bath where instantly all of her worries just melt away. I actually imagine next week spring break, so I can imagine there's some moms who might shout, Calgon, take me away, about midway through the week. But isn't that exactly what so many people are looking for, right? They're looking for an escape from a world that just sometimes feels a little too extra. I mean, maybe our generation, the current generation, might be a little different. Maybe instead of Calgon, take me away, they might say TikTok, take me away. Or maybe you'd say golf, take me away, or fishing, or shopping, take me away. All of these things sometimes sound so much better than what we're dealing with right now. Because people often assume that the path to peace is found somewhere other than where you are right now. It's always over there, wherever there is. And it seems like there is always changing because whenever you get there, you find that it's not really there. And it must be over there then. And so it's like this cycle. You keep going there, 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 hoping to find this elusive peace, something that's just missing. And maybe you've gotten to this situation where you kind of feel that way. You feel like maybe you are just searching for the thing, like if you could just make a little bit more money, get rid of those bills, the worries would go away. If you could just do that. Or maybe you're in a situation where you're in a tough work environment. You're like, if I could just get a different job, different work environment, my life would be full of tranquility and peace. Or maybe you think, you know, if I could just find the right house, you know, this house is just the problem. If I could find the right house, that would take care of everything. I've even heard of people, unfortunately, that even make the mistake of thinking, you know, if I just had a different spouse, I would be so peaceful. You know, if I could find the right Mr. or the right Mrs., then I would be full of peace. And so what happens is people are just searching, but it's an illusion because the peace doesn't last. The feelings go away pretty quickly. And once that false peace fades away, they're left still wondering, where can I find peace? So then the search starts all over again, and they just keep moving on and on. They have this sort of destination disease. If I could get to this destination and somewhere, that's when I'll find the peace that I've been looking for. And unfortunately, it's not just people out in the world. It's even Christians have fallen into those kinds of traps before. And you ever find yourself just thinking, like, I'm just one step away. Just one step away. If I just, one thing could change, I'd find peace. I would have that peaceful life. And it just always feels a little bit out of reach. You know, I just can't get that peace, that peacefulness that I'm wanting so badly. Well, that's, tonight I came with what I think is hope. And that hope is that you can find peace. But it's not dependent on the circumstances that you're living in right now. It's not dependent on who you're married to. It's not dependent on where you work. It's not dependent on where you live. It's not dependent on any of those things. It's completely unlike anything the world around us offers, because what the peace that our world promises is the absence of something. But what the Bible offers as peace is the presence of God. It's not the one thing you need to lose, but the one thing you need to gain that will make all of the difference. And I actually think there's a story from Paul's life that'll really help us to demonstrate what this looks like. Now, if you're not familiar with Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. He was the first missionary to really go out and reach the non-Jewish world. So his travels took him all around the Roman Empire. And actually, in one story that we're talking about now, he had moved into Greece, and he went to this city called Philippi. And when he was in Philippi, he began ministering all around the city. Paul would do that. He would work, and then he would minister. So they were going around, he and his traveling companion, who was another preacher, Silas. They were traveling in that town, and as they were preaching, they kept getting accosted by this girl. Everywhere they went, she was just right there with them, just causing a stir, creating problems. And come to find out, this girl was a slave, and she wasn't just a slave, she was also demon-possessed, and her owners exploited her in order to make money as a fortune teller. So you can imagine, her life was pretty awful. I mean, her life was not her own. And so Paul finally looks at her and he says to the demon to come out. And immediately, she's changed. The demon comes out. She's a completely new person. Now, you would think it would be this moment of celebration, right? I mean, he just did something really great, but it actually wasn't. It turned pretty ugly because the owners of this girl realized that they could no longer exploit her for gain, so that their money had dried up. And when you mess with people's money, they get pretty upset. So they dragged Paul and Silas in before the judges, and lying, they accused the two of them of causing an uproar in their city, which is completely false. But being accused of being a disturbance to the peace of a city was a pretty big accusation back there. But what's even more amazing is these judges didn't even stop to listen to their side of the story. They didn't stop to hear what Paul and Silas had to say to find out what had gone on. They just immediately had them stripped and beaten with rods and then thrown into prison. In fact, they told the jailer, they said, "I want you to watch these guys carefully." And they basically shackled them in some stocks. Now, it's helpful to understand in the Roman prisons there, they had these wooden stocks that were kind of fastened to the wall, but they had these different leg holes throughout. So what would happen is, when the jailer would put them in, he, whatever leg hole you fit in, he would pick the next one out, so that when you sat there, it just painfully stretched you all night and all day. So it's really helpful to understand that's where they were sitting in this moment. That's what led up to it, and that's where they found themselves. Now, if peace is the absence of conflict or the absence of problems, then Paul's situation is about as far from tranquility as you can get. But imagine you're in Paul's sandals here for a second. I mean, you've been out there preaching about Jesus, so obviously you're doing the right thing. You expel a demon from a girl who's being hurt, another great thing. And your bonus, your blessing for that, was to be beaten, thrown in prison, and tortured. In our world's view, this would be a moment that would rob anyone of peace. I got to be honest, if I was in Paul's situation, I probably would have been pretty upset. I don't know. I have a hard time imagining. I'm just trying to think, how could I have kept peace in that kind of situation? I mean, especially you've been there where you feel like you're in this moment, you're in this cycle where no good deed goes unpunished. That's kind of what was happening to Paul. And it's easy in those moments to just lose that last sliver of peace that you're holding on to because the problems just kind of squeeze you, just squeeze everything out of you. And it would just make you feel like giving up, especially if you believed that peace was dependent on how many things were going right and how many things were going wrong in your life. But I actually love how Paul and Silas responded. This comes from the book of Acts. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. So in the middle of this dungeon, I mean, it was a deep, dark kind of hole right in the middle of this prison. In the deep dungeon in the blackness of midnight, Paul and Silas hosted their very own night of worship. And then God's power showed up in an amazing way and literally shook the bars and chains loose. So how was it that these two guys were able to sing in a moment like that? Well, it was because Paul and Silas had a different kind of peace. It wasn't based on perfect circumstances. Their peace came from the presence of God that was within them. It was a peace that actually had been promised to them and to us by Jesus. It's a peace that only he can give, and when we receive it, it changes us. In fact, Jesus actually said this to his disciples on the night before the crucifixion. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." So how does Jesus offer us this peace? He says, "I give it to you." So it's like, have you ever thought, how do you get this then? How do you receive something that he's offering that's actually not a physical item in your hand? How do you receive it? Well, if you go back one verse prior to that, John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the peace that Jesus offers us comes through the Holy Spirit, who's given to us to help us and to strengthen us. And if you're wondering how that works in our daily life, I want to show you a verse from 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul actually wrote this. He says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" Now, in the ancient world, the people there, they really understood one thing, and that was the temple was a special place. Because they believed and they understood the temple was the only place that a person could go to interact with heaven. It was the only place that they could go to meet God. And so when Paul said, "You're the temple of the Holy Spirit," what he was saying is, as Christians, both us individually and us as the church, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the place where heaven and earth meet. And that means everywhere you go, you experience the presence of God. It comes with you. You don't come to church, this building, in order to meet God. You come to this church to gather with other people and collectively worship God. But when you leave out these doors, God is still with you. His presence is still with you. You haven't deposited him here. You haven't come to meet him and then leave separately. He's with you every step that you take, everywhere you go. It means that we take heaven with us. So whether you walk into a school, into your home, into an office, or in a dungeon in Philippi, you're not walking into that space. You're not just walking there. You're bringing the presence and power of God with you. And that includes God's peace, which is why in any circumstance, you can have peace. Because you are not being affected by what's outside of you. You're bringing what's in you into that situation. And that makes all the difference. That's how Paul and Silas were able to worship in the middle of a prison, because they weren't looking outside for peace. They weren't looking outside for relief. They were drawing off what was inside of them. They were drawing off God's presence and his power and the Holy Spirit who was working in them, because these two guys had a habit of walking with God, of walking in step with the Holy Spirit, obeying Jesus, spending time with him. And because of that, when they were put in a really hard situation, what naturally came out of them was what they had been putting inside of them, which was peace, which was God, his power and his presence. But it's not just something that was something just for Paul, one of the guys in the Bible. This is something we're talking about that's available for all of us. It's for all of us. In fact, if you look at something Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians, it was this list called the fruit of the Spirit. And this is just a part of it. But Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So if you follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit helping you, which means what should naturally come out of your life are those things. All of those things should be what naturally blooms as you produce fruit in your life. As you live your life, it should exude out of you. Everything that God has put in you, that the Holy Spirit is building in you, should naturally come out in any circumstance and in any situation. So that's why we don't have to look outside for peace, because the Holy Spirit will cause it to well up within us. We don't have to look at what we can leave behind, what we can escape, what we can do in order to find peace, because it's in us. It comes with us. Everywhere we go, every step we take, heaven is with us. God is with us. So when you're praying, when you're spending time with him, you're not sending your prayers up into the sky. He's right here. His presence is with you. You're not searching for it. It's with you. And that makes all the difference. Because as long, and this is really important, as you stay connected to the giver. He's offered you that gift, but you got to stay connected to him. I think of it like this. Anybody love a fire pit on a cold night? I mean, we get like three of them a year, but those three nights are amazing. My wife and son love the fire pit. So we have one in our back patio. And it's kind of fun. Like, we'll get marshmallows or hot dogs or something like that. And my wife and son, they love sitting around the fire, just kind of watching it. It's great. But you know what's interesting about sitting around a fire like that on a cold night? There is nothing about the fire that changes the outside elements. The fire does not stop it from being cold. The cold is still there. It's still freezing. But the difference is that you're near the fire. Because if you wander away from the fire, you're going to be cold. You're going to experience the elements. You're going to feel it when you walk away from it, because you're taking yourself out of that heat source. But even on the coldest nights, you know, if you get really close to those flames, you can almost start sweating sometimes because it gets so hot. But it hasn't changed the temperature outside. The circumstances are still the same. The difference is that you're standing near the source of heat and warmth. And that same thing is true with Jesus. The closer we walk with him, the less it matters what's going on around us. See, if you separate yourself from Jesus, that's when you're going to become exposed. That's when you're going to become vulnerable. That's when you're going to be subjected to things that are going to push you and test you, that are going to potentially try to draw you away. But when you stay close to him, that's when you're going to be able to feel his presence, his help, and it's going to make a difference. It's a great way to take stock of your life. If you ask yourself, like, if you notice, if you think, like, I feel anxiety, I feel fear rising, I feel my peace just constantly dropping. If you feel that way, it's a good time to ask yourself, how close am I to the flames? How close am I to Jesus? Have I moved away from the source? Because when you are connected to him, it brings blessings. In fact, in the Old Testament, that word peace is really rich. It's even richer than what we understand just in our English language. The word peace in the Old Testament, it means wholeness and completeness. It actually meant prosperity and wellness. So Jesus' peace is so much different than what is promised to us in the world, because only God can offer wholeness and prosperity in the middle of what seems like terrible situations. I mean, Paul and Silas, look at them. On the surface, they were neither whole nor prosperous in that moment. Their shackles and their wounds totally testified to that fact. They didn't, on the surface, appear to have that. But they understood that where they sat had no bearing on who they were in Jesus Christ. So the riches of God's blessing and his grace welled up inside of them so strongly that all they could do was sing and worship, because they felt something from within despite what was going on without. And they may have been battered and bruised, but they were whole and complete on the inside. Paul lacked nothing because he had a different kind of peace, something the world can't understand. And maybe that was on his mind when he wrote this in Philippians 4:7. He said, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When you have God's presence in you, his peace guards you. It watches over you. It's like a shield. That's the only way you can have peace instead of fear. Remember back to Jesus' promise. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." How can we follow that command? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, I know that sounds great, but how does that actually work in practice? Well, it happens because God's peace prevents fear and anxiety from taking over your life. It's a shield to our minds. Satan, he loves to throw those hard times at us. He loves to throw those difficulties in our way because he wants to scare you. He wants to get you to give up. Because here's the one thing he knows, and don't let anyone tell you differently, he can't take you from Jesus. He's not strong enough. He's not powerful enough. He's not able to take you out of Jesus' hand. So what he does is convince you to take yourself out of God's plan. That he can do. And so in those moments, we have to not allow ourselves to be tempted to move away from Jesus. I mean, imagine for a moment if Paul and Silas had given in to fear or to anxiety in that moment. I mean, how many of us could blame them in that moment, because we would feel similarly. But if they had done that, what would they have done? I tell you what they wouldn't have done. They wouldn't have been worshiping. You know what they probably would have been doing? Complaining. They would have sat there and complained in that jail cell. If they had fear and anxiety running through their lives, controlling them, all it would have been about is how bad their life is. Woe is me. Look at this. Look where we are. Look, our legs are hurting. Our backs are hurting. Look what's happening. And you know what happened? It would have just nothing. Nothing would have happened. It would have just been a long night in a cold jail cell. But because they had God's peace within them, because they were guarded in their hearts and their minds, they looked past their situation and they praised God. And that praise shook the very circumstances that tried to destroy them. But what I love about this story is that peace wasn't so that they could escape. It actually had a bigger purpose. It had something more powerful that happened. Look at this next part of the story. He said, then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. At that moment, Paul and Silas ministered to this guy who had just a few hours earlier been their torturer. And in that moment, he and his entire family, broken as they were, came to Jesus. They were saved. It was all because Paul and Silas had a different kind of peace. That peace that brings wholeness and it brings healing both to us and to the people around us. Because see, if you want to change your circumstances, the best place to start is by changing what's inside of you. Because when life throws you a curveball, when life mistreats you, when you're scared, when the circumstances of life seem out of control, here's the one thing I do know. God has given us control of what's inside of us. He has given us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. We have the ability to choose peace in any situation, not because we're great, not because we're powerful, but because His presence is at work in us. He's offered us this peace. We receive it. We use it. We walk in it. We live it. And it doesn't matter what the world throws at us because it doesn't change who we are. We get to be in control of what's inside of us. We get to be in control of what we say and what we do. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of God. Don't get caught looking for something out there when what He wants to do is put it inside of here. When we choose peace, we bring God's presence with us. We bring the good news of wholeness and healing to a broken world. Peace is like a weapon that disrupts our enemy's plans. Peace turns bad situations upside down. It takes failures and turns them into triumphs. It takes brokenness and makes it restored. Peace stops the enemy in his tracks. And I think it's interesting that Paul says, when he's describing in Ephesians the armor of God, he said that we should have our feet fitted with the gospel or good news of peace. It actually reminds me of what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. We can only give what we've received from God. And once we receive it, it's our job to go out and share it. Peace isn't just so you can feel good. I'm not saying it's wrong to feel good, but it's not just so you can feel good. It's so that you can go out and be a light to other people, to help them know that they can find the same thing and find help in Jesus. I'm reminded of this story. Maybe you've heard it. There's a guy, it was in the late 1800s. His name was Horatio Spafford. He lived in Chicago. He was a pretty successful businessman, but the Great Chicago Fire wiped out his wealth. He had four daughters, and soon after the fire, he and his wife actually welcomed a son, a baby boy. They were so excited. They thought maybe things were beginning to turn around. But shortly after, his son died, and the family was devastated. And he was actually friends with a guy named D.L. Moody, who was a really well-known evangelist in the city of Chicago and actually worldwide. And he was going to be going to Europe to preach. And so he thought it might be helpful for the family to join him and maybe get their minds off of it and just to be part of it. So he invited them to come along. And the family was all set to go together, but Horatio got held back by business. And so he decided, instead of making everyone wait, he would put his family on an ocean liner and send them over, and then he would come shortly after and join them. As the family crossed the Atlantic, their boat collided with an English vessel, and the boat sank. So you can imagine, with no instant communication back then, he was desperate to find out what had happened to his family. And finally, he received a telegram. It just had two words. It said, saved alone. All four of his daughters had drowned in the Atlantic. So the grieving father jumped on the boat. First thing he could do, he was headed over to be with his wife. And as he was crossing the Atlantic, he asked the captain to show him where his daughters had drowned. And as he crossed that spot, he wrote these words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He and his wife later settled in Jerusalem, and they spent their life continuing to share the good news about Jesus. You see, in that moment, he didn't find peace in his circumstances. He found peace in his Savior. And that made all the difference. And now that song has gone on to minister to people for over 100 years. You're going to face some challenging moments in this life. We're all going to face problems. Jesus said it in John 16. He said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We're going to face challenges. But the good news is we're not going to face them alone. We have the power and presence of God in us so that we can have the peace of God in the middle of any storm. No matter what you face today, you don't have to be a prisoner of worry. You don't have to be a prisoner of fear. God's peace is a shield that will surround you, that will protect you, that will keep you safe from the enemy's plans. It's why you'll be able to praise and rejoice and sing in the middle of your darkest moments. It's how you can shout in a dungeon and proclaim peace in a mountain. You have something in you that is different. It is a different kind of peace than the world around us offers. And it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It is God's gift. So you don't have to keep searching for this because the gift has already been given to you. All you have to do is just receive it. Just take it. Because God wants to bring peace into your life that's going to bring wholeness and prosperity. It's going to be completeness. You're going to lack nothing with Jesus and because of the peace that he brings to you. Nothing you face today can rob you of the gift that God's given you. Circumstances don't have to dictate your life. Whatever's happening right now is not in charge of you. It may be affecting you. It may be bugging you. It may be harassing you. It may be like Paul and it's beating you. But you know what? You can sing. Because you're in charge of your peace because God has given it to you and he has offered it to you and he brings it up within you by giving you the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. So no matter where you sit today, you can lift your voice and praise God because you have a different kind of peace. Let's bow our heads. I just want to begin by asking just this simple question. If you're here and you don't know this kind of peace because you don't know Jesus, because you're not following him or because you've walked away from him, I want to give you that opportunity to come back, to know him and to experience exactly what we've been talking about tonight. And we're not going to make you stand up or walk to the front. It's just real simple. If you're here and you want to say yes to Jesus, just simply raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to ask everyone in here just to pray with us. And we're going to just repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe. You're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. I just want to take a moment to pray for everyone. Lord, I just pray for every person here that they would know your peace in the middle of every situation. No matter what the world's throwing at them in this moment, that they can sing praises to you and they can know the peace that only you can give because it is a gift that you have offered them. That the Holy Spirit is working in them and helping them and that they can then be a light to others to let them know what you and only you can give. And I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.